Some of you may have been still thinking about that Java night that we had last Saturday. Yeah. And you may have enjoyed it very much. Truly, it was a very memorable Java night experience for everyone who attended. When the idea was floated that the Java night to be regular, monthly or even weekly ministry activity, it sparked excitement. And some even suggested that if it's available on live stream, those who can attend or who cannot attend or people who have illness will watch in their homes. Well, what can you remember during the Java night? There's this particular group who performed during the Java night that have captured curiosity. Prayer buddies, prayer beasties, and prayer homies. These prayer buddies, prayer beasties, and prayer homies, those names of groups are thematically spiritual, so to say. Can you agree? Maybe they have added the term prayer in their group name because they may have sensed that strong desire to attend prayer meeting regularly. Hopefully, what do you think? We pray that members of the prayer buddies, prayer beasties, prayer homies may regularly attend prayer meetings and realize its essentiality to their spiritual growth. Together, let's meditate on what it encourages us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we have professed, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if you consider Java Night as church ministry to invite friends and relatives, then prayer meetings should be a priority as church activity. We pray together as a church for particular friends, relatives that we wish to invite to attend Java Night or any other fellowship worship services in the church. Additionally, we can also ask attendees of prayer meeting to pray with us that God may specifically show which talent he designed to you for you to excel. You may have thought that you have the right to do whatever you do. You may have the right to practice whatever you want to practice. You may have the right to participate in everything you want to participate in. But praying for a specific revelation from the Lord can be more productively beneficial somehow. Don't just say, I like this, my heart wants this, but pray about that. Let's read again verse 12 and 13 of our passage. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say food for the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Everyone may claim, everyone may say, I have the right to do whatever I want to do. It's my right. Given, nobody will dispute that. You have free will. But how do you interpret human free will, human free will. What is free will? Personally, what is your realization of human free will? Is that doing whatever you want to do, doing anything you want to do? Do you conclude that human free will is doing what you want to do, what you want to say what you want to say? Follow your heart. That is a very popular advice, but questionable. Is it beneficial to follow the heart desire, the desire of our heart? What do you think? Before you decide, before you follow your heart, carefully, prayerfully consider what the Lord declares in the scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." Are you curious or are you conscious that the Lord has records of whatever we do? He has record of whatever we say, privately or publicly. He recorded it. You may still insist, "I have the right to eat whatever I want to eat. I have the right. I can cook my favorite food anywhere, anytime." How can food affect our spirituality? Now, if you are living in an apartment building and you cook your favorite dish, the aromatic smell of what you may cook will spread to the next door, next room. Do you seriously consider if renters in the neighboring apartment appreciate the smell of what you are cooking? What's your favorite cuisine? Do you like pinapaitan? We Ilocano like pinapaitan, and I'm heating pinapaitan there. You may taste that Ilocano cuisine after the benediction. Yes, it's true. I have pinapaitan, what's that, usa? Deer. Yeah. Brother Ronald caught a deer and I cook. So don't worry about that. But some of you may not like the smell. Well, do you like dried fish? Do you like to you? Some of you like to you very much, but others may not like it. There's this story, it's true, it's a real story, it's reported in the online news about Asian women living in an apartment, and they love to eat tuyo, dried fish. And one time they were frying tuyo for lunch, and the pungent smell of dried fish spread to the neighboring apartments, and their neighbors called for welfare check. You know, welfare check. If you suspect that the other room has problem, you may call 911 for welfare check. They reported, "We smell some rotten smell coming out from the apartment next door. We're afraid that this Asian woman may have died." When the police arrived, what do you think they found out? The Asian women were very much alive. They were just frying dried fish, trying to you for lunch. This story is not an isolated case. It happens anywhere, not just in apartment buildings. Have you experienced when you fried dried fish to you and your neighbors would frown or pout in annoyance? I guess Maribel had experience of this. She was frying outside the house because that's what we want to spread inside our house, smell of tuyo. And the neighbor just made face. They cannot appreciate the smell of your food. They may call welfare check if you do that often. I don't know. We have to be aware that of what we may eat and consider our health and others as well. Anyone who is conscious of physical health can be very particular of what they eat, how much they eat, when they should eat, and when not to eat, when to stay away from food. Such routine about eating food can be useful to maintain health or improve health. But remember what the scripture says, what the scripture clearly revealed. In his perfect time, God would destroy both the food and the physical body of everyone, believers or not yet. Our behavior should testify of the transformation that Christ has done in our life. Whether we eat food or perform activities, we testify of God's grace and love. Together, let's seriously reflect on what Apostle Paul teaches in Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to 9. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord, both the dead and the living. Well, have you been escaping the winter chill? Many Canadians are called, summer birds or something, Canadian birds. Many Canadians escape winter chills. They travel to other places, to the south or to the east, where there's no snow. It's tough for them. Have you ever visited the country of Liechtenstein? Have you heard that country? Liechtenstein. It's located between Switzerland and Austria, east of Switzerland and Austria. And this Liechtenstein is about one third of the area of Winnipeg. But it's a country. It's just one third. Its population is more than, less than 50,000, 49,000 more or less, 49,000 population. The area is about 160 square kilometers, Liechtenstein, and Winnipeg is 460 square kilometers. So that is almost one third of Winnipeg. There was this online article that reported the death of the youngest prince in the reigning monarch of Liechtenstein, Prince Constantine. He was 51 years old, according to the report. The prince was 51 years old when he died unexpectedly last week, I guess in Tuesday or Monday, Tuesday somewhere, I don't know. Well, it only reveals that the powerful or ordinary person can die anytime. The famous or the infamous can die anytime. Young or old can die anytime. During wartime or peacetime, everyone has their designated time to live on earth. Do you agree? How long will you live on earth? When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, according to estimate, he was more or less 33 years old. He was buried, resurrected, returned to heaven. And by faith we hope that he resurrects us also when he returns. Do you have that hope? Takes us into heaven eternally. So we've got to be aware, if the Lord will not return yet, he declares that it's time, it is our time to depart this world. We cannot prevent that. We cannot. And the Lord says, it's our time. It's your time to depart this world. We cannot prevent that. Let's read again verse 14 and 15 of our passage. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Now, personally, individually, let us evaluate our faith in Christ. Let's sense it for ourselves. Do I have strong, firm confidence that when Christ returns anytime sooner, he will take me into heaven for all eternity? Ask yourself that question. Do you sense any doubt? Now, if you sense any doubt that if Christ returns in a little while, tomorrow, 50 years from now, you would be entering heaven. Now, if you have that doubt, ask the Lord now. Lord, I don't understand everything, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. Pray silently. Ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. I don't understand everything what you did on the cross, but I know that you died for my sins, so forgive me of my sins. Pray that seriously, sincerely. Nobody would know if you pray or not, but I pray that you would seriously consider. This winter, there are a lot of accidents, and we don't know if it is our time. You drive slowly, drive fast, drive normally, but others may not. There are reckless drivers out there who may involve anyone in accident. Pray that God give you that faith to trust him until you sense that peace, that joy in your heart. Joy and peace that comes from the Holy Spirit of Christ practically assures us that we belong to Christ. And we are members of Christ himself. What does member of Christ mean to you personally? Are you a member of Christ yet? Christ resurrected, and he resurrected his body, the church. The church. Let's read again. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. No one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Are you a significant part of the church, the body of Christ? Everyone belongs to a community. Everyone belongs to a group. We join groups, engage with others who share common interests, even hobbies. We are members of family or members of sports team. We join group of friend or colleague at work. We identify with cultural and ethnic groups. We sense belonging to a group. We join fellowship. But how can you say that you are a member of such group if you are not involved? This is why we always pray for our children every Sunday Most of the time, children are misguided with many teaching where they would say they can do whatever they want to do. But they need to understand that being a member of a family, they need to get involved in the activities of the family, even participate in household chores, right? Now, parents, are you concerned of the spiritual life of your children? You are not alone. Many Christian parents are very much concerned that when their children start earning money, they prioritize their career and neglect their spiritual life. It's good in this country that even teenagers are given work while they are studying. They can get full-time work even while they are in school, which is really practically beneficial to them in the future. But seriously, parents are concerned of the spirituality of their children, but they ignore their own spirituality. Parents, we set examples in the family. If parents neglect their spiritual life, can we expect career young people to be more serious spiritually? How serious are you in your spiritual life, parents? Well, praise God for His work in the youth fellowship. Praise God for the leaders and those who participate in the youth fellowship. Together, they gather every Friday. They learn more about God. They fellowship. They interact with their group regularly. They grow strong in their camaraderie. In comparison, adult fellowship group gather together only on monthly basis. What do you think? Which group is growing stronger spiritually? As Christians, we are members of Christ when we join His body, the church. Together, let's seriously reflect on what it admonishes us in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 8. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Fellowship groups in the church, these are opportunities for us to practically discover and practice spiritual gifts. When we are having study, when we study the scripture, the spiritual gift of leadership, teaching, encouragement, and prophecy are applied when we study the scripture together in our fellowship. Likewise, to prepare food, the tables, the chairs, and clean afterwards, the spiritual gift of service is exercised. Working together in unity practically proves that we become members of Christ. Let's read again verse 16 and 17 of our passage. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. The scripture particularly emphasizes the consequences of sexual immorality. The one who unites himself with a prostitute is united with her in one body. The scripture warns against sexual immorality because instinctively, wickedness come out of the human heart. Really? let's seriously meditate on what the Lord Jesus declares about human heart in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart come evil, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Whatever he declares is the truth. So when he says that out of the heart come evil thoughts, it's true. And as members of Christ, we are united with the Lord. We are one with him in the spirit. But how can we be spiritually integrated with the Lord if our heart is filled with evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, or slander? Who is worthy to be called members of Christ then? No one. That is why God the Father sent his Son, only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's meditate together, seriously, what it prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everyone had become sinful, all of us, but God took our iniquities, our blame game, any guilt, all things that caused us to sin, even worry, and crucified them with Christ. Can you believe that? In his mysterious process, God cleansed us from any unrighteousness so that when we believe in Christ, his sacrificial death on the cross, we are declared righteous before God by faith. Search your heart. If Christ is standing before you, what will he say? Will you hear, son, daughter, you are declared righteous because I took your sins and crucified them on the cross? Can you imagine that? Here's an advice. Before sharing the gospel of Christ to potential believers, practice telling children, sharing it to children. Practice sharing the gospel of Christ to children. Tell the children, Christ died for your sin, took your sin and crucified them to the cross. Ask the Lord for faith to believe that the Lord Jesus took your sins and crucified them to the cross. So ask the Lord for forgiveness and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just practice that to children and listen carefully how they may ask questions, how they may respond. And if you are not very sure of what you may answer, you can easily say, yeah, me too. I don't understand everything, but it's a mystery that we believe in faith. You can say that. If you still have questions, then approach your leaders, approach us, approach me, ask that question, and I may help you if I can. Someone practiced sharing the gospel of Christ and said, the Lord laid on Christ all our sins when he was crucified on the cross. Then the listener asked, you said the Lord laid all our sins on Christ. It means there's no more sin in me. That's right. But it also means that Christ has become sinful because he carried all our sin, all sin of humanity on the cross, right? How do you respond to that? children are very witty. They are very thoughtful. They are mindful. They think logically too. How do you answer that? If Christ took our sins, now, if we can collect all the sins, and imagine that all the sins, they were crucified with Christ. And then we have no more sins. We are freed from sin, right? And then we look at Christ crucified. All our sins have been crucified with Christ. All the sins were carried by Christ on the cross. Christ has all our sins. He becomes sinful. How do you respond to that? Christ was punished together with our sins, so that by faith we believe this mysterious process that God gives us for salvation. God sees in us perfectness when by faith we believe that Christ carried all our sins on the cross. God sees in us righteousness, and he cannot see anymore the sin he forgives. The Bible says that God blotted all our sins and do not remember sins that he forgave anymore, even in eternity. That is one thing that God cannot do, not to remember the sin he forgave, because he chooses to do it, to forgive, for forget what he forgave. How strong do you believe that? Together, let's reflect on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The pronoun him pertains to Jesus. God made Jesus Christ who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. If God declares that you are righteous before him, that you are perfect before his eyes, what can you do? Praise God. Thank him. How strong do you believe that? How strong? If you still have little shaky faith, pray for increase of faith. Lord, increase my faith. Give me godly wisdom that I may understand how I may explain to an ordinary listener, to a child, that you have saved me. All members of Jesus Christ are declared righteous before God. Amen. We are worthy to be called children of the righteous God. Praise God for his grace and love. Amen. The iniquity, the blame, the guilt, sins, worries, unrighteousness, the Lord laid on Christ on the cross. Anything that caused us to sin were punished on the cross with Christ. Pray for increase of faith in godly wisdom to personally realize that. Let's stand up together. Bow down your heads. Ask the Lord, if you have a little doubt, ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask the Lord to give you godly wisdom to understand more clearly the mysterious process of salvation when Christ took our sins and crucify them on the cross.